Lowe's knows you're the pro who does it right to find more ways to save because your business depends on it. We do it right, too, with savings every day, plus even more deals during our Spring Black Friday sale. Get $40 off 5-gallon buckets of select paint and stains via Lowe's gift card rebate. Buy three or more Purdy brushes and get 15% instant savings. And get up to 35% off select appliance special values. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Paint and stain offer valid through 410. Purdy and appliance offers valid through 417. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Welcome to Hour 2.
Welcome back to the second hour of Remnant Battle Lines with Watchman and Tower. It's Thursday, the 13th day of September 2018, and you are listening to Warn Radio. And now I welcome back the Watchman for Life Manifested, Part 1, John's Gospel, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Epistles, and Jude. Welcome back, Watchman Dana.
Thank you, Tower.
It's already the middle of the month. Can you believe it?
Yep, I can.
Okay, I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. We are in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, when I read this, I think of the light. You know, the good thing about light, as long as there is light, you're in pretty good shape. Around here, when we have a full moon at night, I can virtually walk around without no lights. It's the lesser light that rules the night. During the daytime, of course, the sun is out and we can see all the time. Now, we did have a full eclipse here. That's the one that went from coast to coast. And during that time, it got kind of dark and we covered that. We could still walk around, but it was definitely darker. You know, when I watch some of my older shows from time to time, movies, not my shows, but movies, I have occasion to see some of these people, and they have the old-fashioned flashlights that are almost yellow at night when they walk in the darkness, and there's others, they'll have little lanterns that they try to see by. If you go back to the time of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, they would have had the little lamps that they would have carried around. If you go back, you know, to our parents or grandparents, they would have had a regular flashlight that would actually be kind of dim, but it still gave them more light than they was used to. Now, you see, I have in my back there, I have this light that is heavy. It's real heavy. It's portable. It's one of those that I charge up and I don't worry about batteries. But I can take it out, and as a neighbor found out at night one time, I lit him up from across the street. I can turn it on and light up the hill across the river. Very, very powerful. If I'm carrying that light at night, I can see everything, pretty much, that I need to see. Now, I've got another light over here, and it's pretty bright too, but not as bright as that, and I can still see by that, but pretty soon the batteries get down and it gets real yellow and I can't see as well. Well, what I'm trying to bring to you is that there is light. And in our technology, we have light at night. We light up our houses, our roadways, our countries, our ships that sail in the night, our planes, everything. Now, as believers, we have a light. And that is what John is talking about. He says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And darkness here refers to sin and evil and all that that's related to that. He's light. He's perfect. There is no sin. He cannot know sin. Sin can't even come near him. And that's one of the reasons that the children of Israel could not touch the mount, why their animals couldn't, because he is a holy God. And they were not holy. They were sinful. And they would die. Now in Revelation, when we look towards the end of the book, it talks of the wicked and others saying to the hills and the mountains and the rocks to fall on us and hide us from him who sits upon the throne, for his day of wrath has come. Talks about how fearful the world is going to be when the Lord comes. What do you think the ones in the light are going to do? Well, first of all, when he breaks the sky, we'll be instantly with him. Now, let's go back then. Let's talk about the light, because that's where I want to focus. God is light. So we have known Christ. We have received him. And we have his book. And so we know his commandments. We know what he wants us to do. And we go to church all when we're supposed to go. And even in the pulpit, we find people doing this. And then, of course, you come up and you have sins in the shepherds. Homosexuality, molestation, a priest with a girl, or etc. You know, it can be any number of things. It can have to do with money, theft, all kinds of things. Well, they're a priest. And they're supposed to have fellowship with him. But when you commit those things, you're walking in darkness and you become a liar. And you're not doing the truth. Now see, as humans, we have a tendency to look past these things. Because we're human. And we give God the benefit of the doubt, saying that, oh yeah, he'll forgive us. That's why Christ came. And indeed, and we're going to cover that, he will forgive you if you confess him from the heart. But a lot of times we get into this thing, and we have now teachers, preachers, and churches that teach sin and say it's okay. And they will tell the people that it's okay. And we have quite a number of them. And there can be various things that they will say is okay, that is not okay. And I'm not going to get into that right now, because you, through the Spirit, when you see it, you will know it. The bottom line of it is that we know the deeds of the flesh and the deeds of the Spirit. Paul tells us that in Ephesians. But quite frankly, almost all the epistles and the Gospels tell the believers that they need to watch what they're doing. You can't just, oh, I'm a happy-go-lucky Christian. I can go out and do anything I want to do. Whoopee, whoopee, whoopee. No, you can't. You're a child of God. And this is where the focus is. Now see, if we say we have fellowship with him, and in America, everybody has fellowship with God. You know, and you'll find them. And around the world, we have the Hindus that have fellowship with a lot of gods. We have Muslims that have fellowship with God. You've got every kind of religion. They're all in fellowship with some kind of God or something over there. They got a superior being. You've got those that believe in UFOs and a higher life form, and that we have to ascend like the ascended masters that come down in. Some of them believe that Jesus was an ascended master, and so on and so on and so on. Anybody can say, oh, I have fellowship with light, and I am in God. And see, today we have more lies than you can shake a stick at. More deceivers than you can possibly imagine. And your only truth that you have right now is the Word of God, and if you're born again, truly, the Spirit of God within you. You cannot depend upon the arm of the flesh, because flesh is weak, and it has a tendency to give in. The flesh is what betrayed Jesus. But in that betrayal, he became our Savior. Now, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have the Gospels, and we have the epistles to tell us how he walked. And as Christians today, there's plenty of books to tell you. Everybody has an opinion, everybody has this, and, you know, I mean, you can find it. But for a moment, forget all the other books, forget all the other denominations, forget all the voices that are out there, and think of yourself as knowing God. That he's light, and you believe that he sent his only begotten Son, and you have received him. And you have read the Gospels. And say, you only read John. That's all you're going to need. How many scriptures do you need to believe? Even the Lord said to the Jews, you know, you read the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. He also told the Jews that you are your father the devil. He called the lawyers and a bunch of them snakes, vipers, hypocrites. Now see, we don't go around calling people snakes, vipers, hypocrites, but see, the thing of it is, the Bible talks a lot about fools, but yet in many of the Gentile churches we have people that'll preach on call no man a fool. There are a lot of fools. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And we got a lot of fools in America today that are fools. A fool's a fool. It's how you say it. It's who you're saying it to and how it affects your heart. We declare it according to the Word of God. We don't say it. The Word of God is saying it. So we have fellowship with him, the Father, through the Son. And if we truly have that fellowship, we're not going to be committing adultery on our wives. We're not going to be sleeping with others of the same sex. We're not going to be stealing from the store. We're not going to be deceitful in our business. We're not going to be liars, cheats, thieves, whoremongers, idolaters, and every other kind of thing. We aren't going to do that. The world will hate us. Because it hated the Lord first. Especially today. Now there is a time in my life and many, many Americans before it got to the end times that Christianity was accepted and, you know, you didn't have to fear for being a Christian. But things have changed. America's changed. The world has changed. So more than ever, you have to know in whom you have believed. I know in whom I have believed, And I believe that he will keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We have believed in Christ, and we have committed unto him our very souls. Everything that is in us. And we said, yes, Lord, I believe. I receive you. Come in. Forgive me. And we are trusting him to keep these souls against that day. And that is the day of judgment, folks. The second death. For those who believe in Yeshua, Jesus, they have no fear of the second death. So if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now that's a measure you can use on the church and on pastors. I don't care what they call themselves. I don't care how big a ministry they are. I don't care how holy or how thou art righteous. This is the most holy, high reverend, his honor, his majesty, the bishop of whatever, or whatever it is. You know, we like all these highfalutin titles. I've never cared for them. I came out of Bible school with a bunch of buddies and gals who everybody was on fire for God. And we didn't like ministries that gave away free stick pins. We didn't like people putting their names on the Bible and rewriting it. We wanted the Word. We wanted the Spirit of God. We wanted to have fellowship one with another. Now, verse 7. But, see this but, three little letters, is a big word here. But, that's the difference between you and hell, is this but. Right here in verse 7. But, if we walk in the light, a little phrase, as he is in the light. Now see, these are separated by commas. These are ideas he put together in comma, all connected. This is English. If we walk in the light is one. As he is in the light is another. We have fellowship one with another is another. Is another one of those. And it says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, not just walking in the light. There's a lot of people that say they walk in the light. Even the Muslims think they walk in light. Now, I covered 2014, 2015, after the double blood moons, you know, they were going on, and I was covering ISIS going through the Middle East. And they were in Libya. They were in Iraq and Syria. We covered all of it. I was covering it at Kobani, and I was using first-hand reports. And the people on the ground, you didn't find many reporters. They got killed, and they were people, just like you and me, only they were others. They were Syrians. They were Iraqis. Some of them were Muslims, were Kurds. Some of them were ISIS themselves who were recording what they were doing. And see, they were walking in their God's light all the while they were raping and pillaging, killing little kids, raping girls, and doing everything they could to the heathen. Now see, that's their light. And they're expecting to go to paradise. And a lot of them who died are not in paradise. They're in a hell of a mess. You have others who believe in the ascended masters, and they have this spirit that comes to them all the time, that they're in the light and they're going to ascend like this other one. That's a lie from the pit of hell. There are spirits out there. I know. I've seen them. But if we walk in the light as he is the light. What is the light? The Son of God. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, as he is in light, what did the Lord do? How did he do it? That's where you find out in the Gospels. Don't just allow a preacher. Or even me. I'm preaching it, but man, get in the Word. Read it for yourself and apply it. This is Life Application 101. Get the Bible, read it, and do it. Of course, there is that thing that we were taught in Bible school about keeping things in context, and I always tell you to do that. You have to know context. See, in the Bible it says Judas hanged himself, and another part it says, go thou and do likewise. So, if you want to take the Bible and just say, okay, well, Judas went and hanged himself, go thou and do likewise. So you go hang yourself. Well, no, that's taking the scripture out of context. There's a context to it, knowing what it is. In this context, John is talking directly about your walk with your God and his son Jesus Christ and how you will know that you're in him. It says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, how do you know what the light is? What he did down here, what he did down here, what he did down here. You read it, you know it, you walk in it. We have fellowship then through his spirit that's in you because you have received him, remember? But see, there's more than just receiving him and believing on him and even confessing. It is walking in the light as he is in the light. You can't say, well, I believe in Jesus, and you go out and you become a dirty, rotten sinner all the time. And we'll get into sin here in a minute. But see, when you begin doing sin and enjoying it and making an excuse for it by saying, God will forgive me anyway, that's when you're in trouble. You have to walk in the light as your Lord walked in the light, and then you will have that fellowship. When you walk as your Lord walked, then you have fellowship with him, and his blood will cleanse you from all sin. And as you continue to walk, his blood will continually cleanse you. And it does that because you have received him and you have believed. But see, John then goes and says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now he tells you that because they did have a big problem with that back at that time. There were people that entered into the church and said you could believe. And matter of fact, he writes about it. The Lord gave him the word about it back in Revelation. And there was some cults that developed in the church and around the church. And there was another one Paul dealt with, was higher wisdom. And then, of course, the Jews were entering in. Some of the other Jews who, yeah, they believed in the Messiah, but they thought you had to keep the whole of the law and you had to also be circumcised all the time. So Paul told him, well, if you circumcise yourself in order to be saved, then you know what the cross has done. What the atonement has done. So John says, if we say we have no sin, we're only deceiving ourselves. Hey, that's why Christ came. We were sinners, and we are sinners. Yet, there's a little truth here. And he says, the truth is not in us. What is the truth? The truth is, you're a sinner. And as a sinner, when you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's all he wants. He knows you're a sinner. He knows your makeup. He just wants you to acknowledge that and confess him. And he will forgive you. And he will cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. because he's faithful, because he's just, and you, number one, you believed that he existed so you could confess, and number two, you were honest enough to say, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. I did this and this and this. This is the balance in the Christian life. And this is where it says, well, a church is nothing but a church full of sinners. No, it's not. They're the children of God. That's what a church is. It's not a place to sin and make excuses. A church is a place where you meet the end of your sins and a way to deal with it through Christ and live for Him. A church is not a place where you store up all your idols in one section and all your whoremongering in another one and all your lustful activities in another. And it's time for the church, especially in America, to understand that judgment is coming to this nation. And I've been warning for over 20 years now. And I got news for you people. And I say that with love. Do you really think that you can stay in that church in America and you think you're going to go in a pre-trib rapture before this all begins? No. Judgment will first begin at the house of God. Then if we, who are saved, barely survive, did you get that? Where will the sinners and the ungodly stand? Judgment will first begin at us. Now many in the theological range, I mean some of them will say, well, you were judged at that at Calvary. No, you weren't. That was the opportunity to find redemption. But see, in America, God is going to judge the church and purge it with fire. And it's already started. But this is just the tip of the tentacle of the fire to come. Because in the midst of the fire, remember Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? The Lord was standing with them. And their bodies were not burned nor singed, nor even smelled of smoke. Because your faith, being much more precious than of gold tried with fire, might be unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord and our Savior. Because God doesn't want a church of dead people. He doesn't want a church that he has to judge and send to hell. He wants people redeemed. And he doesn't want the wicked to die either. He wants them to repent. So these end days, while God is shaking everything, and he is shaking things in America now, that's why your Congress and your presidency and all the liberals and everybody, this nation is so divided. Because God is shaking every corner of this nation right now. This is just the beginning here. He's shaking it. And he's reminding you who's God. You know, up in the White House for the first time, there's a lot of people that hate him, but there's a lot of people that love Trump. I mean, there's prayer. I can tell you, if there's one person that needs a prayer meeting, it's up there in the White House. You wouldn't have seen that during Obama's time. But see, this isn't about politics. You might think it is. It's about judgment. God is in charge here. And he's in charge in every nation on the face of this earth. And he's got warrior angels in every place alongside every believer. And he's got legions more of them waiting. There's not one believer that's going to be abandoned. And this God is going to put a fire through the church. And he is going to purge out the sin. And there is going to be repentance. And people are going to come closer to God. And you're going to see signs and wonders and miracles just like the book of Acts. We are seeing them already. And I'm telling you right now, you get into this book. And right here, 1 John 6 through 9, you paste those verses up. Matter of fact, verse 5 wouldn't hurt you any at all either, 5 through 9. Thy word is truth, O God. That's what the Lord prayed in John. Now in Jude, we're going to come to that too, and that is really really going to be a good one. Now, chapter 2, we're going to be dealing with some more stuff. But I love these little epistles. They have so much in them that it really beggars the beggar's description. So at any rate, John, 1 John 2. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. Now see, this is another good one, because although John told them how to walk, and that he that says, well, you know, I'm walking in the light, yet he's doing sin, he's only lying to himself. Well, see, John is bringing this up again. Because, and this one, in 1 John 2, verse 1, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. Now see, the division in chapters, they have it between 1 John 1:10 and 1 John 2:1, but they're really connected, because verses 9 and 10 are talking about confessing sins, and if we have not sinned, we make him a liar. But see, he comes right back in 2:1, and he's talking about sins. My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now see, he's already told them that. In 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, will cleanse us from all sin. And in 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But he's expanding it a little bit more to let them understand don't sin. But if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. It goes a little farther. An advocate. This is the lawyer for the defense. This is the one standing, advocating, Father, forgive them. For my blood was shed for them, and they accepted that. 1 John 2:2, and he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And see, when we get into this section from 1 John 1 up till 1 John 2:2, we're dealing with this fact of Christ coming, of the Father, and of us, the light, and we're to walk in the light, and the sin. It's this all relationship between God and His Son and us. How do you unite heaven and earth? How do you unite a holy God with sinful man? Well, the propitiation for your sins, the substitute, the sacrifice, the payment for your sins was made through the blood atonement of Christ, because he was like the atoning lamb. Had to be perfect, that sacrifice. The Passover lamb had to be perfect. He sinned not, but took on the sins of the whole world. So while we are in the end days, and while Christians are being persecuted by those who are evil are that way because they are in darkness. And it's really hard if you're sitting in prison getting beaten up by these guys all the time, trying to think of them, well, you know, they're just doing it ignorantly, because the wounds still hurt, whether they're doing ignorantly or not. But the fact of it is that a lot of the stuff that's coming through on my desk right now from a lot of those that we correspond with and everything, that this is exactly what's happening. It's the enemy that's getting shaken and stirred and saved. Yes, the believers are getting persecuted, and some of them end up dying. But in the process, there's miracles going on. Miraculous, absolutely unbelievable things happening. And so John wants them to know that there is still hope for you. Even if you do sin, you have that advocate. It's a heart attitude. There is a time when you can cross over into that never, never land where you'll never come back. But understand this. God is willing to forgive you again and again. But remember the other part to the scripture says, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that's what he is going to reap. God knows if you sow to the flesh, the deeds of the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. That's scripture. But if you have a heart for God, and you confess and repent, he will forgive you. And this is what John is trying to tell them. I don't want you to sin, but if you do sin, you still have an advocate with the Father. And you go to him, and you confess, and you seek him. Because he will heal you and help you. See, this is between these two verses, these sections, what we covered about walking in the light and this part, this is very important. Because while we're not to sin, people are going to sin. Not all the time. And in America, people are led by pastors, shepherds, hirelings, who tell them, it's okay. You too can do that and live like that. There's no problem. There is a problem. Both for the man of God, supposedly, who told them that, and for the people who will wind up. Because once that shepherd tells you that it's okay to be sinful, and you believe him, you're screwed. And we have a lot of people leading the churches today that they want an easy-peasy Christianity, no conviction, no regeneration of the heart, no challenging for sin. Everything is okay. There is no such thing as a sin in America anymore. Everything is fine and dandy-randy. Everything's beautiful. It's not beautiful. It's ugly. It's filthy. It's dirty. And it is in our faces. And it is a mess. And I'm telling you, you watch not the sin level, but the pride. Because that's exactly what, when God went ahead and judged Sodom. God help us. Because it's coming. And the churches in this country called America are not ready. Even the pastors are not ready. And when some of this begins to happen, these pastors are going to go in their churches and they're going to try to pray through, and they're going to die in those churches, and they will never know. There's going to be blood, and there's going to be people hiding in them churches trying to get saved, because that's where you go. They're going to die in them churches. And we see this to this day around the world, Christians in their churches getting killed and murdered. And it's been that way forever, even during the time of the Roman Empire. There was a time that the people back there thought the church at Rome was that place you could go when the heathen would invade. They could go in the church and be safe. That was until the heathen started going to the church, slaughtering everybody in there. And that's about the time Augustine, I think it was, wrote his thesis on the Church of God, dealing with persecution. Now, we got a little thought here, another change of thought. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now see, whenever we talk commandments, we think of law. And in America, when you talk about law, people just have heart failure. Because we've been taught that the law, if you do anything with the law, you're going to hell. That is not true at all. It's because as Gentiles, not familiar with the truth of the whole law, misunderstood the law. And then today there's people who keep the law to the point that that's how they get saved. That isn't how you get saved. There's only one way today. That's through the blood atonement of Christ and believing in him. But that doesn't negate the fact that the Lord came and he gave commandments, and he was sure to tell us that the word wasn't his, but the Father, which gave them to him. He said it openly. I gave you everything the Father told me to tell you. What I say is not mine, but the Father's. And so, 1 John 2:3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, if you notice, John does this a lot. Verse 10, 1 John 1:10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. He's not afraid about talking about lying. There, we're making him a liar by saying we don't sin. He says here, I know him. He that saith, I know him, meaning the Father, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. So the one who says, well, I know the Father through the Son, I know Jesus, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. This is the Word of God. We do have the Word of God, and when it's written, that's what we follow. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, and hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Now, that refers right back to where we were in John. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. 1 John 1:7. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself so to walk even as he walked. That's walking in the light. And then he says, brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Now there was a segment with the Lord where, when he was teaching, there was a bunch of some of his family that came to see him. And he was interrupted and told him that they were standing out there. And he says, this is, and he said, who is my mother, my brother, and my sister? Those that hear the word of God and keep it and do it. And so we have a word of God. And the Lord talked about that. He says, if they hear my word and keep it, then they will keep your word. So when you tell them or suggest something to them that they ought to do, if they don't obey the gospel of Christ, then they're not going to obey your word. And see, it's all tied up again, being in the light. And that was in 1 John 1:9. That little segment in there that I mentioned earlier. We have to walk in the light as he is in the light. And your brother are those who hear the word of God, hears the gospel, and keeps the gospel. Walking in love. By this shall they know that you are my disciple, that you have love one for another. Now in America we have tons of churches. We have tons of people that call themselves Christians. But I tell you the truth, in the Christian church is a place where a brother or sister can get hurt within that church, and they can get run over and practically murdered by their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And I've even seen this with the deacons and even in the pastorate. It's not to say that we don't have love among us. There is. But by the time this thing gets over, there will be those who are found in Christ. It won't be the assembly of God over here the Baptists across the road, the Church of Christ down yonder. You see, all of our little denominations and all these different places because, well, yeah, we love one another, but we just can't stand one another because we always argue about our theology and our doctrines that we've developed since the apostles. And our theology and our doctrines that we have are more important than the Word of God. But although we claim that they're a Word of God, yet we still allow the fact that our little theology and what we think is more important than the love we should have for a brother found in Christ. So now it gets to the ouch factor, see. Do you love? Now the Lord gave us that. He said, no greater love than a man gives his life for another. And the Lord gave his life for all of us so that we might live. So is it strange that we should love one another? And consider one another. And be there for one another. But I'm telling you, in all these years, I have not seen that. Not in any big way. Not as it should be. Now they will tell you, well, that means we're all united in the faith. Although we can't get along, we all believe in Jesus, so we're all going to be united. No, that's wrong. It's unequivocally wrong. It's simple here. He that hateth his brother, he that loveth his brother. Now see, is it okay, you know, if you don't love him, you may not hate him, you just dislike him a little. Is there a fine line there? Well, you'll have to take that up with the Lord. There's love here and there's hate. You either love your brother, and if you don't love him, that means you're hating him. Now that's tough. So when you really get down to the ouch factor, you know, when you really get into what we're talking about here, reading this, it can really, really, really hurt. I mean, that's just all there is to it. Do I really have to do that? Do I really have to believe that? Is that the truth? You know, and then you find yourself arguing about whether to believe what is taught or not. You know, it's about life. It's about loving, having compassion one for another and being there and helping them. Loving can take a lot of different forms. Well, it's getting dark, as you can see. I'm running on natural light here, and already my video is getting dark. We're going to have to get out of here. We thank you for being here for this segment. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless your people as they hear this. Lord, give them the light, give them the faith, and move upon them in Jesus' name. Okay, Tower.
Okay. Amen. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We love you. We pray for you. We truly appreciate all you do for the kingdom of God. Thank you. Good night, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Good night, everybody. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.
Lowe's knows you're the pro who does it right to find more ways to save because your business depends on it. We do it right too, with savings every day, plus even more deals during our Spring Black Friday sale.
Get $40 off 5-gallon buckets of select paint and stains via Lowe's gift card rebate. Buy three or more Purdy brushes and get 15% instant savings. And get up to 35% off select appliance special values. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Paint and stain offer valid through 4/10. Purdy and appliance offers valid through 4/17. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
Friday night, Sunday brunch, it does not matter. Facts are facts, queen. Every cigarette can cut your life short. Find that hard to believe? Then tap the banner for more. This free life. Freedom to be tobacco free.